The understanding of the nature of reward and punishment also seems to have caused problems for Jewish thinkers throughout time. Biblical books, particularly the book of Job, of course, realize that the righteous frequently suffer while the wicked thrive. And by Second Temple times, this seems to have been partially resolved by assigning much of man's reward to a future existence, to a world to come. And that would clearly be an attempt at solving things. What you think is the ultimate reward and punishment is not the ultimate reward and punishment. An evil man may thrive in this world, and the righteous man may suffer in this world, but this world is nothing compared to the world to come. And in that ultimate world, true reward and punishment would be dispensed. So it could be that formulating this idea of a world to come was just one way of getting around the question of how do we explain the book of Job? How do we explain the fact that the wicked enjoy a happy life? The Sadducees probably found no overt allusion to a future life or a world to come in the Bible, and so they denied the idea totally. For them, everything ceased in this world. With man's death, there is no afterlife of the soul, which is very interesting. The Sadducean teachings, that is to say that God is removed from this world, that there is no afterlife of the soul after death, these teachings are very close to the Greek philosophy of the Epicureans. The Epicureans, in fact, claimed that a man should strive for well-being in this world. The Greek phrase for this was ataraxia. And you should strive for well-being in this world because there is nothing after this world. And I think it's not by chance that the rabbis chose as the prototype or the epitome of the heretic, of the non-believer, the name Epicurus, the Greek philosopher, the founder of the Epicurean philosophy. Because in fact, it was this Epicurean philosophy that denied almost all of the basic tenets of Phariseeism, which would develop into Rabbinic Judaism. By the Middle Ages, Jewish philosophers, such as Maimonides, knew that or felt that there was a reward and punishment, and they considered a belief in reward and punishment to be a major article of faith, but they too already had no doubts that these rewards are primarily connected to a future existence. And of course, the great advantage of this is you thereby cannot judge God simply by seeing how people thrive in this world. There's no way of denying God's ultimate truthful dealing with mankind just by looking at this world. But the fact is that some medieval and modern thinkers nevertheless had problems with this doctrine of reward and punishment, whether in this world or in the next world. Claiming that God would reward and punish is not that simple, because first of all, God appears to be vindictive. Does a real God take offense if someone does not pray to him X times during the day or something like that? Maybe even more critical, how can the suffering of children be justified by the sins of their parents? In other words, how can, even if you believe there's a next world, does that explain how a young child dies and we are told that it's maybe because of the sins of parents? Some modern writers attempted to solve these issues by quoting rabbinic statements that also seem to suggest that good deeds are their own reward. That is to say, if one behaves properly, the reward is in the good deeds themselves. That sounds suspiciously close to what the Sadducees claim. One of the rewards that became a staple in Jewish belief was a belief in resurrection. And it could be that this is one of the ultimate rewards. And while this was one of the mainstays of Jewish belief, the nature of resurrection is far from clear throughout Jewish history. I would venture to say to this very day. First of all, there are really very few biblical proof texts for the whole idea of resurrection of the dead. There are a few. For instance, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 19, we find, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. But of course, a scripture like this is so difficult. And from this to a personal resurrection of the dead is still a major leap, or a leap of faith, if we wish.